Good evening. Welcome to the Lord's house. Welcome to St. Mark's. For those of you that are unaware, I am Pastor Dave Kalpin. I serve your brothers and sisters just down the road in Folsom at Foundation Lutheran Church. Tonight, it is my privilege to worship with you and serve you with the gospel on this midweek Advent service. And we're going to continue along the theme of Jesus fills the potholes. God in His grace has placed us on the path to heaven. And the road to heaven, because of God's grace and mercy, is a smooth one. But because we live in a sinful world, there are potholes. There are difficulties that we encounter, and today, once again, we get to hear that Jesus fills those potholes, so to speak, and today we'll especially focus on the fact that he does that by giving us hope. The service that will follow tonight is recorded in your service folder. We'll begin with the responsive verses. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light of darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Be our light and scatter the darkness.
And hear our evening hymn of grace.
Human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them. They are like a breath, their days are like fleeting shadow. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now drawing to a close. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly that we may walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll continue with our next hymn.
Oh,
Our reading this Advent service is recorded in Isaiah chapter 40. We'll read verses 1 through 8. If our greatest problem and our greatest need was a worldly problem, well, then the world might have something to offer us that might give us comfort. But our greatest need and our greatest problem is not worldly, it's spiritual, it's a sinful problem. And so it's only through the eternal words of God that speak of a Savior from sin that we are to receive any kind of comfort. And comfort it is, the comfort that only Jesus can bring. We read from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. This is the word of our God. We'll sing our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace. peace are yours in rich abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who gives us hope. The words for our meditation this morning, or this evening rather, are the words of God given through Peter in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read for you verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the word of our God. Friends, I think you would probably agree that some of the most memorable gospel moments in all of the Bible have to do with Jesus' disciple, Peter. I'm sure there's all sorts of memories that flood your mind when you just think of what you know about Peter from what God tells us in the Bible. Peter, remember? Peter was the one who wanted to walk out to Jesus on the water, on the Sea of Galilee, and he actually did for a little while, until his faith gave out. Peter was the one who boldly spoke for the rest of the disciples when Jesus asked them who their take on who he was really was. And Jesus, or Peter, spoke up and said, "Jesus, you are the Christ. You're the chosen one, the Son of the living God." But you also know that only hours after Peter promised that he would never deny Jesus, he disowned him three times. It was Peter who was one of the disciples who actually witnessed the empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. He saw Jesus twice on Easter Sunday, the living Lord Jesus. And by God's grace, it was Peter who later on, days later, was reinstated, was affirmed as a disciple of Jesus, even though it was that same Peter who had denied him. If you take a look at the life of Peter, especially the faith life of Peter recorded in the Bible, it was a wild ride. Sometimes it was smooth sailing to magnificent heights, and then there were some bumps in the road that led to some very terrible lows. It was Peter who at one time boldly confessed, but then also shamefully denied Jesus. So what do you suppose Peter would write right off the bat? How do you suppose Peter would start his very first letter to Christians that were scattered all around the Mediterranean world of his day? How do you suppose he might start that letter out? Well, very fittingly, he starts it out with a word of praise to the God who had shown him so much mercy. Well, tonight, we too are gathered here as disciples. That's why we're here. Students, followers, trusters of the way, the truth, and the life. And though we are separated by 20 centuries, we are not all that different from those first 12 disciples that Jesus called. Our lives, especially our lives of faith, are filled with magnificent highs and terrible lows, moments of great faith and shameful moments of incredibly weak faith. So if we were to pause for a few moments tonight and to put on paper some words to share with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with Christians all over our country, we probably would have very good reason to start off our letter in the very same way that Peter started his. Praise to the God who has shown us incredible mercy and given us hope. You see, you and I are the recipients of some incredible mercy. And after we take some time and look at what Peter says in his letter here, these few verses, we're going to be reminded that we have some incredibly good reasons to praise our Savior God. It wasn't that long ago, or maybe it was a while ago, Sesame Street figured out that when you begin a lot of words with the same letter, that often makes the point a little bit more memorable. So if we're going to use that trick tonight, based on what Peter has said for us today, we're going to say Peter's letter is brought to you tonight by the letter H. And cutting right to the chase, what I mean is this. We were hopelessly hellbound. Let me explain. You probably know very, very well that when a child, sadly, when a child is born to a cocaine addict, that child is born an addict itself. When a child is born from a parent that has AIDS, for example, very often that child will have AIDS itself. Well, we were born from sinful parents, and so we had sin. From the moment of conception, the blood that ran through our tiny little cells that God used to make our bodies was sinful blood. The tiny little cells that God used to make our bodies were sinful cells. And when God allowed us to be born from our mothers, we were sinful babies, hopelessly hellbound. And headed to hell without any hope is not at all a good road to be traveling. It's a terrible road to travel, and we were on it. And we had the pedal pushed down. Lord, we were racing toward ruin, not even knowing the torment to which we were headed. We were hostile to the God who was completely justified in sending us there. We were truly a sorry lot of people. But God has a lot of mercy. See, he caused you to be born again. You had no part in your being born the first time as a sinner, and you also had nothing to do with being born again the second time. God is the subject of it all. God is the doer. He placed a sinless boy inside the womb of a sinful woman, a boy whose blood that made up his cells was completely sinless, a boy whose cells that made up his body were completely sinless, a baby born in Bethlehem as a full human being, minus the sinfulness. Jesus Christ. And then God cursed that sinless one with the sin of the entire world as he hung on a tree in Calvary. And finally, when God buried the sin of the world in the grave of his Son, Jesus rose from the dead, leaving all of that sin behind forever, all so that you, who were born the very first time as a sinner, he might cause you to be born again. Not a sinner, but a holy child of God, a holy child of your Father in heaven. And look what happened. H's all over the place. You went from hopelessly hellbound to hope-filled heir of heaven. After reviewing events like that, how can we help but agree? Praise the God of great mercy who gives us hope. And remember, when we talk about a Christian's hope, we're not talking about some pious wish of something that we think might happen. No, the hope of a Christian is absolute certainty in a promise that Jesus himself has already made a fact. This is what you've been given as you have been reborn through the working of the Holy Spirit. And this hope that you have, it doesn't come and go. You always have it. Through the resurrection of Jesus, your sins can never touch you. Through the resurrection of Jesus, you are now a recipient of the unfading, undefiled, undiminishing inheritance of a home in heaven. You realize what that means, right? No stock market plunge can devalue it. No earthquake or fire or flood can destroy it. No shifting politics of a confused world can ever affect it. The passage of time cannot make it obsolete. The hurtful words of sinful people cannot devalue it. The sinful actions of hurtful people cannot damage it. And the only thing that death can do is make it all yours. Is it any wonder that Peter says, "Praise to the God of great mercy. In this you greatly rejoice. You have been given an eternal hope for the future." But what about your present? What about right now? Well, it would be good for you to know that Peter was a realist. He understood that the people to whom he was writing were experiencing some very real present problems in the form of persecution and sadness and dangers and difficulties and all sorts of frustrations. And it would be good for you to know, you who have this future hope, it would be good for you to know that your Lord knows that the path to heaven, smooth as it is, living in a sinful world, can develop some potholes. Relationships can go awry. Loved ones can go away from us in death. Frustrations can knock at the door, and anger and rage can come in. Guilt and fears can mount, and despair wants to make its home with us. Like potholes on a road, the devil will use whatever he can to poke holes in your hope. But the rejoicing and the joy of a God who has mercy is not derailed by the potholes. You see, your future hope, it lives and breathes in the present. The God in whom you hope, the God who has given you hope, is a God of incredibly great power that is at work on your behalf. He puts that power to work for you. So humbly trust that power as you endure these difficulties, trusting that the Lord will most certainly deliver you in his good time and in his good way. And in the meanwhile, know that his shoulders are broad enough to shoulder anything that causes you anxiety. But do know that even that humble trust is something that he gives you. Remember how the Lord was the subject, the Lord was the doer in your rebirth? Well, notice who's the subject, who's the doer in every Bible passage that talks about the power that God promises. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will be with you. Never will I leave you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You see, Peter didn't walk alone through this life, and neither do you. Surviving the potholes and living this life with confident joy is not something that is up to you. It's something that God enables you to do. So the same God who walked with Peter and shielded Peter with his power is the same God who walks with you and shields you every single day with his incredible power. And the last time I looked, he has some pretty limitless power. And 10,000 times 10,000 angels to guard and keep you. Praise to the God of great mercy who has given you hope. It's a hope that smooths the ride and slashes through troubles as you head straight to heaven. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that peace will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll now hear an anthem from the choir. pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. May the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives.
Amen.
We'll continue with our closing hymn. Good evening once again. It is an absolute pleasure to be with the good people of St. Mark's and worship with you, share God's word with you, and rejoice in a Savior who gives us sure and certain hope. I have just one announcement that I was instructed to give to you. There are five Advent wreaths available yet from last weekend. The wreaths were made by several of our St. Mark's ladies as a way to support our tuition assistance fund. So if you'd like one of those wreaths, please see Ruth Vogt. And the cost of a wreath is not $80, but special price tonight, $40 a piece. $40 a piece. So thank you. Like I said, I look forward to the times I get to worship with you. I look forward again to a time when that will happen in our future, Lord willing. God be with you.